Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
The word that Isaiah saw: it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Isaiah saw the word. Rather strange, we think of hearing a word and not seeing it, but Isaiah sees the word. He sees what the Lord would do in the future, in the latter days. It was made visible to God's prophet. Now, it's worth remembering that for Isaiah, the future days, the latter times, included things that for us are now in the past: the Babylonian captivity, the return of God's people from exile, the Messiah coming, the New Testament church, and the final judgment. Isaiah looked ahead to all these things, but we look back to most of them. The Messiah, Jesus, has already come in the flesh. This weekend's Living Nativity is a proclamation of what took place 2,000 years ago in history. And right now, we're living in the time of the church that Isaiah was looking ahead to and called the latter days. For us, the only thing that Isaiah foresaw that we haven't yet experienced is the last day when Christ returns. Now, when Isaiah sees this word, there's one feature that stands out so prominently. He sees a mountain, the mountain. In one sense, it's no surprise. I've never been to Israel, but I'm told that if you're there, there's almost no place that you can be where you're not either on a mountain or looking at a mountain. Perhaps you can relate. We're surrounded by our own set of mountains: Wachusett or Watatick or Monadnock or all the other mountains round about. For the people of Israel, in their history, there was one mountain that dominated everything. That was Mount Sinai. On Sinai, where God gave the law, the Ten Commandments, through Moses, where God established his covenant with his people. But the mountain that Isaiah saw was not Mount Sinai. He saw the mountain of the house of the Lord. We should think here of the mountain where Abraham took Isaac, his son, to sacrifice him, Mount Moriah, although he was spared because of a sacrifice still to come. We can remember that same mountain where Solomon built the temple, that mountain where the Ark of the Covenant was brought with great joy and festivities into the Holy of Holies, Mount Zion, where it became the holiest of mountains, the place where Yahweh, the God of Israel, would be, would dwell on that mountain, in that house. He would be there to serve his people. From that temple mount, his word would go out and his light would shine. Now, Isaiah saw that mountain established as the highest of the mountains. In his vision, it's almost as if there's some plate tectonics going on and it's pushing upward right underneath the Temple Mountain and exalting it, thrusting it up. Everything buckles until that stands as the highest point. Becomes higher than every other mountain, higher even than Mount Sinai. He's not describing something that would physically happen, but he's describing a spiritual reality. What makes this mountain the highest, the most prominent, the one that rules over all the others? It's because from this place, God does his work of salvation. The gospel is accomplished and proclaimed. The good news of Jesus Christ happened in a definite place related to that mountain. It started in Judah and Jerusalem. You can think about what we heard in last Sunday's gospel reading. From the Mount of Olives, our Lord rides a donkey into Jerusalem. And then he spends the next week teaching in the temple. And then he establishes his kingdom by going to the cross, not with a sword and a spear, but by dying to serve his people. The king comes and establishes on that mountain his kingdom, a kingdom not of power, but of grace. And then we can think how from Jerusalem and Judah the word went forward. After rising from the dead, our Lord gathered to himself his disciples. And beginning from Jerusalem and Judea, after the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, they were his witnesses. They proclaimed repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations. And that isn't limited to one geographical location. To hear that proclamation of repentance and forgiveness, you don't need to go to Jerusalem or to the Temple Mountain. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And that means preaching, and preaching happens in time and space by those who are sent with the good news, which means that wherever the gospel is, wherever you hear the forgiveness of sins proclaimed, wherever Christ meets you with his life and salvation, that is the mountain of the Lord. In the mountain of the house of the Lord, Isaiah foresaw and prophesied Christ's spiritual kingdom, his church. The church is an exalted mountain. It's the spiritual house of the Lord, and I don't mean the church building, and I don't even mean a denomination, but I mean where Jesus is with his forgiveness, in the water and in the bread and wine and in the word. Think of the means of grace that we receive and rejoice in week after week here, where we broken sinners, where we weighed down by the burdens and trials of this life, where we come here to the mountain of the Lord. And he forgives our sins, your sins. And he teaches you his ways. And you learn to walk in his paths and live by the light of his word. Here Jesus rules. And here his kingdom is established. And you might say it's as if Isaiah saw our time. And he saw right here in Westminster the plates coming together and thrusting up a mountain that would be the place to draw all nations to Christ our Lord. Our Lord, who is merciful and gracious, who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He has and he does establish his kingdom, and not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. And to this kingdom, it says, all nations shall flow and many peoples shall come. We gathered here are from many places. We represent many nations and many peoples, and there will be even more gathering to this place on Saturday and Sunday. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the gospel, our God continues to draw all nations to himself, to his promises fulfilled in Christ. And we gather today as those who recognize the gift that we have in his word and his holy sacrament, as we say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Come, let us taste of the sweetness of his word. Come, let us receive the holy sacrament of Christ's body and blood. We who are harried by our sin and by the looming threat of death and by the accusations of the devil, come, that our King may rule in our lives. And he does. He rules here with his forgiveness for you, with life and salvation for you. And here you come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. Here is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so as we go forth, I urge you to continue making known this wonderful gift to others. Reach out to family and friends and to neighbors. Say, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord, the light that shines out from the place where Christ is. We can't hide it under a bushel basket. Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows him does not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And here at the mountain of the house of the Lord, we have found that light and that life. So come to this lighthouse where Christ himself shines. Come to this mountain where his gifts are given and dispersed, even as we look forward to the last thing when Christ comes again. In his name.